I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Russia me, Mark.
Russia me, Pete.
Oh, I'm so serious.
Wow.
Sound like Hulk Hogan. You're like,
you've never beaten me, dude.
He's like, yeah, because you were really horrible back in the day.
I was thinking of doing a load of fake sponsorships for wrestling products.
Yeah.
Just because I think it's good to legitimate sponsors. To see how it might
how it might sound.
How
yeah.
it might sound.
Exactly. Is that why you brought hula hoops?
Yeah, I brought in the most wrestling snack I thought.
Yeah.
They're hula hoops, big hoops of barbecue beef.
How big are they? They're like...
I don't know. I don't think the hoops... Are the hoops big?
I don't know. They're saying big hoops. Or is it just a big packet of normal-sized hoops? It's a big packet of normal-sized hoops.
Is it?
Oh, there's nothing like the smell...
They did do big hoops, but they were like puffed up ones. I mean, they're delicious.
So it was like a Taurus, kind of like a donut rather than they're good then.
They're crunchy, aren't they?
Yeah. People didn't listen to this to hear too many eating hula hoops.
Everyone dreams of doing a podcast where people are eating crisps.
ASMR.
Good. But I was thinking, can I do like wrestler impressions? Can I do them well? I can just about do Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Go on then.
Oh, I was listening to Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
I think I can do Harley Race, but I'd have to think how he speaks. Hang on. You're listening to Harley Race. He's like that. He's sort of like an old robot that's gone a bit wrong. But I was thinking, I want to do Greg Valentine adverts for stuff that Greg Valentine might feasibly bring out.
Right, okay.
Can't do that voice.
No? I can't even think
how it goes.
No, his face is so squished. I don't know how his vocal cords would work.
Someone said he looks like one of those wooden statues that you get outside American tobacconists of Native Americans. He's got a real look of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and work that out.
Come back to us.
Yeah.
What kind of products could you see Greg the Hammer Valentine kind of shilling?
Greg, I think bird blood. Like a drink.
Based on like black pudding.
I've seen all these wrestlers coining it in with their beers and things. Well, old Greg's got a new product. It's a tin of bird blood. Seven different birdies desanguinated. Yeah.
You'd think there'd be bits. There's no bits.
There's no bits unless some bits have got in.
Wondering where their brothers are gone.
It's the saddest drink, but it's...
Well, God, it's red.
And it's cheap. Oh, it's so cheap. I'd do it for fun if I wasn't paid.
What's that on the metal? Is it rust or is it bird blood? A little bit of both.
Also,
bird tons of bird blood. It's very corrosive.
Enjoy my rust drink. Guaranteed to contain no bird blood unless, of course, there's some bird blood in it. I think now,
Greg's bird blood.
Hula hoops, you see.
Yeah.
We could do something like that for you. Oh man. Right, let's get back to something just as blood soaked and awful. It is Crown Jewel 2019. We are on the second match. They have a little interview thing with the Revival here.
Yes.
And the Revival, I always think of very underrated tag team, and they had a bad run in WWE because they weren't appreciated. They do as poor a job on this promo as any you'll ever see in WWE. It was just a short bit where they just sort of say, essentially, we're going to be the best tag team in the
very
world.
Very anonymous. I had no idea who these men were, and they didn't do anything.
They do not, in that moment, look at all like like they're WWE superstars.
No.
They just look like two guys. You're like, these are the fucking local lads, you know, who are about to go up against, you know, the Quebecers.
Yeah.
You know, and they're giving them a sort of funny, it's just, I mean, it really is appalling. There's a lot of that in this show because you have, like, as we talked with Cain Velasquez, you will have this great big April 2020 talent cut. You can begin to see in this show the people who actually, I mean, you know, the axe is hovering above.
Yeah.
And you can see the way they've been booked, they are very much on their last legs.
Yeah.
And the Revival, they were asking at various points to be let out of their contract because they felt they weren't being utilized properly within the system. Mm-hmm. They would eventually, you know, be let go. But you can see in this bit, you can see if you were Vince McMahon, you would look at that and just go, this is not what I'm about.
That wasn't even worth 30 seconds on the Crown Jewel.
No, it wasn't. Sure. It wasn't. And it does seem sort of strange to me when you get bits like that, that because they do go back and sort of edit things out, I'm sort of surprised you didn't go, do you know what? That actually is not good enough. It's not good enough for what we're doing. This is entertainment.
Yeah.
It's just strange. It cuts as well straight to the Viking Raiders. Or I think
Night and Day.
Yeah.
Look at them. Look at them. Look, they've got something.
This is a show that made me really, really like and remind myself how much I enjoy the Viking Raiders. Mm. There will be some stuff that we'll, I think, see in the future where they again, just totally misuse them. How can you misuse two fucking big Vikings? Just crazy. And Michael Cole, just as we go into this match, he says the line, he does a lot of shilling for Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah, he's very much that.
Promote tourism and promote job growth. The celebration goes on. The celebration
goes
of promoting
on.
Job growth.
That's the, there's a shot of like Riyadh. He's like, that's the Kingdom Tower. Is it?
Don't get it wrong.
Don't get it wrong.
I will get in so much trouble if there's a complaint about this. We have the World Cup to be named the best tag team in the world. I was very much hoping that Shane McMahon would turn up at the end and win this on his own. And it starts off with Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler versus Lucha House Party, who are Lindsay Dorado and Gran Metalik.
I like Lucha House Party.
You know what? They are the smaller performers who never win, who are never sort of given much of a chance and are objectively much, much more enjoyable to watch wrestle than anybody else on the show.
Well, because you talked about Gran Metalik as a bit of a joke because he didn't get on the main roster for the last show, I think.
Yeah.
And I was like, who's that guy? That's a cool name. But I like him because he's big and he flattened. He gets up someone's shoulders and then just falls on Roode.
Yeah. They mentioned a couple of times they sort of call him the king of the ropes. He does lots and lots of bouncing off the ropes.
He's absolutely weightless. He sort of like jumps on the ropes and the ropes don't even bounce, he's really big. And he does it, well, for a Mexican wrestler. And he sort of does this kind of a weird smooth rotation across the ropes. And the ropes aren't bending. I was like, why has he done that?
He sort of does it in the way that you do it off like a diving board. Yeah. If you were really confident and fearless.
He's so graceful.
But there's no water. It's just a floor or a man. And he's just like, oh, I'll bounce off.
I love it.
Before he was Gran Metalik, he was a big Mexican star called Mascara Dorada. Right. And he once held 4 of CMLL's belts at the same time. CMML is the oldest promotion in Mexico. He worked in New Japan for a year. He was in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, which is a tournament that you have watched.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, when was that? 2014. I think.
Oh, was it? Earlier than that? Jeez.
Yeah. And he had a number of matches against Kenny Omega for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. Mm. But since 2016, he has been in WWE. He first came in as part of that Cruiserweight tournament they did that year, and then they picked him up off the back of that. He has not had the level of career that he had all over the world since he's been in WWE, which is a real shame. One fact I found, which I found amazing, is he is one of the only wrestlers in the world who is based on a mini Estrella, a mini star.
Oh, right, okay.
Because normally mini stars are based on
the big stars.
Yeah, the full star, full size performers, and they have a mini version.
So is there a mini Metalik?
So what there was a Mascarita Dorada.
Right.
And Mascarita Dorada in CMLL had previously been known as Mascarita Sagrada in AAA. Mm. So he had a name change. They brought him over as Mascarita Dorada, and he was so popular that they made a full-size version, which is Mascara Dorada, who then becomes Gran Metalik.
Mm.
What you'll be excited about is the fact that...
You're correct.
Is that Mascarita Dorada went to WWE before Mascara Dorada, and that was in 2013, where he was the bovine-inspired El Torito.
Of course, yes, I remember him. He was wonderfully proportioned.
Yes, he is.
He
that's
great
right.
Stuff. He
very
like a little
small
child.
He does, and he wrestles stuff. Like a grown-up man.
Yeah.
He was. If you want to go back through some of the old episodes, we did as part of WrestleMemus, we did a WLC match.
I love that.
El Torito and Hornswoggle, which is unbelievably good. But yeah, so El Torito, his big clone. Is Grand Metalik.
Grand Metalik.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I would like it if occasionally Grand Metalik mentioned the fact that he had a brother who was a bull. You know, it'd be a weird sort of a bit. What I did think about this is they are visually quite generic luchadors.
Yeah.
Grand Metalik is, he's, I presume his name means
big metal.
Big metallic.
Yeah, big metallic.
Oh, I'm big
Why
metallic.
Is it, but only maybe part of his mask is a bit metallic?
Yeah.
Could he not be a bit more metallic?
That was exactly my point. He should look like C3 fucking PR.
El Robocop.
El Dazzler. What you have is you have Lince Dorado next to him, who is also wearing quite a lot of metallic.
Yes.
And all wrestlers wear a bit of metallic.
Bit of metallic,
so if you're like, oh, I'm big metallic, and you're like, are you particularly metallic? And you're like, no,
Mansoor
no
had a
else.
Lot of gold and metallic on his boots.
You know, Mansoor calling himself, you know, El Metallico, because he's Mexican. haven't got to his match yet, so don't ruin it. But yeah, I did sort of look at that and I kind of go, God, it would be a shame if they didn't click in to go, what am I?
What am yeah, you it's know? The what am I, isn't it? Yeah.
It really
what
is. Am I? Just make it mean something. Lince Dorado as well, but there was a close-up they had of him and you can see he's dyed his beard blue under his mask. I was thinking, you know, paying attention to the little details that mean nothing.
No.
Concentrate on the bigger
hiding
picture.
Your beard under a bushel.
Your beard is irrelevant. No, you're not called Lince Bluebeard.
Yeah, I mean, know? Like the fact that you've got a beard under a mask, I don't care.
No.
Don't care. It's under a mask.
Do you know what I do care about?
What?
He does a hot tag with his head. That is brilliant. He dives like a salmon coming out of the sort of boiling waters
They're
of a beautiful mountain stream.
They're always more interesting than everything that's happening.
They really are. And they have to do this as well, where the team they're up against, Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, they don't do anything.
No.
They just sort of have to react to what's going on, because there's no point them going, let me do my stuff, because it's like, well, your stuff is good and you're happy to do it, yes. So I'll just sit back and watch. Now, the end of this match is just a horrible, horrible sort of piece of booking where... having won the crowd over, having performed at a level that no one else on the show has or probably will, they want to do a bit where Metalik comes off with a sort of springboard moonsault and he's going to get super kicked. But what he does is he's in the ring with Bobby Roode, and Bobby Roode suddenly goes over to the referee and starts pushing him so Dolph Ziggler can come in. And Grand Metalik just does this moonsault off. And there's no end result. He's not going for anyone. He's just doing it because he's got to do it because he's got to get hit with a super kick. I did watch that and just go, that's shit. Work it out better. Don't just sort of go, well, this is what we do and people will understand what it is. And it was just really, I was really annoyed by everyone in this match. I was lazy and not worked out. So I hate them now.
I like Otis.
Oh, yes.
He does a little jiggle, jiggle, dance, dance, caterpillar.
You're forgetting Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins.
Yes,
next.
Sorry, yeah.
It lasts for, what, 15 seconds? I think they come in, Ziggler does a top rope neck breaker off of Hawkins' back onto, I think it's Bobby Roode. Completely misses it. Completely has to do one move in this. Completely fucking misses it. Just awful. And then he gets pinned. And it's another moment where you can see the firings being noted down. You know, you can also see that thing of going, well, they had less than a minute, the second on. They, you know, they are yesterday's
men. It doesn't matter, even if they turned in something here.
No.
They've only got a minute to do it in, so chances are they're not going to do it anyway.
Yeah, and if they had turned in something, I mean, there might have been a chance that they'd been saved more than literally flubbing a big move. It's difficult to me to imagine how you can miss it.
Yeah.
Having just watched those two Mexicans do an incredible job.
Yeah. Guy just walked, like, floated on a rope.
Yeah. You've just got to do a roll and grab someone's head. No, can't do it. Can't do it. You do get the impression with these two, actually, at this point, that had they been given more of a break and allowed to do more, that they would have got over. They have a great connection with the crowd in that tiny moment. They do come out sort of like... What they haven't got is they haven't got that sense of just going, this is all fucking pointless. We're not going anywhere. This is a nightmare. They do come out like, we'll give it, come on, let's give it 110%. You can imagine them fist bumping before they come out. Woo, woo, you know, and God bless them for that. At the moment, Zack Ryder, who is under the name Matt Cardona now, his real name, and obviously can't use his WWE name, he is in a program with Nick Gage, the terrifying Deathmatter.
Who
threatened you at Christmas.
I did.
As a wonderful present. He is doing a program with Nick Gage, which is actually, it shows really how magical Nick Gage is, because I have, you know, I don't sort of go, I'm interested in seeing, you know, the post-career of Matt Cardona. It doesn't, you know, he's not a wrestler who I naturally sort of go, that's exactly what I want to see. But as soon as Nick Gage is in the mix, I'm like, I am 100%, he is now in my top five matches I want to see, is Matt Cardona versus Nick Gage. It'd be interesting to see what they would do. The next match, you're absolutely right, Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler versus Heavy Machinery, Otis and Tucker. Tucker's lovely, isn't he? Really nice.
They're all lovely.
Yeah, he's a big, friendly sort of Vader or a sort of massively pumped up white JYD.
You just don't see those physiques as often as you might. You don't.
And funnily enough, it's the same as, you know, like Tucker. He doesn't look like a WWE superstar should look. He's got that horrible long ponytail. Long ponytails are just disgusting on men. Just
especially
disgusting.
When you know he hasn't washed that for ages.
Yeah.
I bet he smells like it. It either absolutely honks or it smells of like, not henna. It smells like kind of like beeswax that you put in a dreadlock.
Or just bread, and you can't tell whether that's a dirty smell or a good smell. I'm not sure. He's got that horrible sort of green blue tattoo on his shoulder. He's wearing an old fashioned singlet, which is often what people who aren't body guys, you know, do put on. He's a bit pasty and he's long and sort of his legs are undefined. And he is obviously a good wrestler, you know, but that is a hurdle that's always going to be very, very hard to succumb in the land of the body. The popularity of their tag team, which they obviously cottoned onto very, very early on, is waiting for Otis to come in. And Tucker is just there to be a body, to be bumped around, to be knocked about, because everybody wants to see big Otis come in. He is, I actually think he had one of the best matches at the next WrestleMania.
Yeah.
It was probably the one I enjoyed as much as any other. And for a while, they were definitely looking like they were going to push him.
Really? Right.
Yes.
Okay.
They did sour on that. But we will be seeing his greatest moment, because after we do this WrestleMania coming up, WrestleMania 36, we'll be having a look at Money in the Bank.
Lovely.
And that will be our last show before we are up to speed with WrestleMania 37. He takes his top off at one point and just grinds about. A thing you can do when you're a big lumpy boy. Everyone goes, that's charming.
It really is. And he's like, you know, it's the reason why I like the Funkasaurus.
Yep.
For his in-ring stuff.
Not so much his harassment. Not so much his harassment. The tax.
But Otis kind of like, he looks quite triangular, but not because of muscle, just because he's got underarm heft as well.
Yes, doesn't he?
Just underneath his arm, he's got these kind of like big old boobies.
Yeah.
That kind of gives him a triangular
and I
physique.
I think he's one of those guys who is just...
He could be like a strong man.
I think he's ridiculously strong.
Yeah.
But it's that thing about it hasn't converted to visible muscle.
It just seems like, right, fine, like, could you not lift more if you lost a little bit of it? Because you've got to pick up yourself as well. You'd probably be beating records. It's like Carl Henry. I'm like, how do you?
He's like
Mark Henry, rather.
He's like a big hairless teddy. Lovely looking.
I like it.
I'm not sure if that's legal in this country. Laughs Corey Graves when he does his thing. Yeah, yeah. A bit like homosexuality, punishable by death. He does that in the joke as well. It's the fourth pay per view running. He loves to say that, doesn't he?
Yes.
But I bet he wouldn't like to say it in court. Stop laughing about that. Otis does a caterpillar, and you know the crowd do love it. Just, you know, simple again, that indefinable quality that goes, you get over in front of crowds. I shouldn't think everyone in that crowd knew who he was, but they were like, I understand a fat man having a dance in a caterpillar. I do like that, you know. Oh, the beefy boy thinks he's sexy. This is funny. Oh, he's doing a little breakdancing move. Didn't expect that. Oh, wonderful. I mean, it couldn't be better.
Yeah.
They beat Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler. They then go on to face The New Day, Big E and Kofi Kingston. And,
kids,
you know,
love them. The whole world round, kids love them.
They do. And Big E is so charismatic.
Yes.
Big E versus Otis. All day long.
All day long.
All day long. Kofi's WrestleMania 35 title victory. His emotional title victory. Yeah. It does seem a long, long time ago now.
It means nothing.
Really does.
Right now.
And he's just back to where he's always been. He's back to where he's been for the last 15 years, which is stuck in a tag team turmoil match. that second on the card.
Woods isn't even turning up this time.
No.
That can't be asked.
No,
I'm
could
injured.
Not be bothered.
But I liked Big E leaning back like the Matrix and then sort of like going, it's like, whoa,
it was
fucking
great.
And Big E's top is so heavy.
So
and
dense.
How has his pectorals gotten bigger all the time? As Kofi Kingston's get smaller, yes. It gets bigger.
He is. He's like an energy vampire. That's what the Big E stands for. Big energy vampire.
I think you could hang, you know when you hang a spoon off a nose? Because Kofi Kingston's got like pigeon chest sort of, you could hang Kofi Kingston on Big E.
Yeah.
Because of his big boobs.
I'd like to see that.
I would like to see that.
The New Day win. And at this point, I was like, why is all this feeling really samey?
Mm.
It feels like, I know there's all different people, but it just seems like I've seen the same thing over and over and over again. And I slightly sort of went, all the matches are the same.
Mm.
No, none of the bad guy teams act like bad guys. There's no one cheating.
No.
And there's no one, you know, flipping off the crowd or anything, you know, or whatever the cultural equivalent would be so you didn't get in trouble. But I was just like, oh, everyone's the same.
Yeah.
They all come out and they all sort of just go, I will wrestle you. And everything will be the same length.
Yeah.
And the style is all exactly the same. There's also that funny thing about wrestling is very simply done because it's good guys versus bad guys, you know, at its heart. And we always worry that bad will triumph, but hopefully good will eventually win in the end.
Mm.
And what you have here is you just go, there's no one good or bad. So you've got good guy teams going up against bad guy teams who are, you know, largely the same. And then you've got good guys meeting good guys and they're also largely the same.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just a big smear. No one's thought about what they are. And so everyone's just blanding it out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more,
and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
All the matches also end in an entirely expected fashion. There's no upsets.
No.
You know, there's no sort of, wow, we didn't think that team were going to do well. It just, as soon as you get a team that is one place above you, if you like, in the rankings, that team will always win.
Yeah.
You know?
And Graves at one point says, when I think New Day are fighting the, what they call the
B team.
Sorry, not the B team. The big guy, Otis, and what
Heavy
called?
Machinery.
Heavy Machinery, sorry. And he goes, I'd hate to see either of those teams win the thing because they'd win the cup because the New Day would fill them with pancakes and the Heavy Machinery would fill it with protein shakes. So I was thinking, not protein, it's a gravy. That makes it funnier. It was funnier, clearly.
I was thinking about gravy earlier and it was because I picked up these barbecue hula hoops.
Right.
I was thinking,
could we distill these barbecue hula hoops out of gravy?
when they were like making like beef crisps for the first time, someone's like, we need to make a beef, something that tastes of beef.
Yeah.
You know, and we're going to use chemicals.
Yes.
And you would continually have to go, taste the chemicals. You go, okay. And they go, now drink some of the gravy.
What, and compare the two?
Yeah, it's not like the gravy yet. And they go, okay, we're going to do more. I was just thinking, someone's job must have been just to constantly sip gravy.
Yeah.
No, it's not there yet. Drink a bit more gravy.
Yeah, the gravy guy.
That one is better.
Gary the gravy guy.
Yeah, yeah, lots of gravy.
Lovely.
I mean, yes, it would be nice if Corey Graves could say stuff that didn't sound like it had been given to him on a pad by some writers who had had to sort of go, yeah, pancakes and protein shakes and things like that. You know, it's, why isn't anyone funny in this? It is true, though. The commentators are never funny.
No, and I guess they don't want them going off-piste lest they upset the paymasters, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know.
There's a line they do say where Michael Cole suddenly says, a wise man once said to me, I should be paying to do this job. And they both laugh because they're talking about Vince McMahon.
Mm.
I was thinking, God, they both heard Vince McMahon say to them, you should be paying me. You know, I was like, what a horrible work environment this is.
And at one point, somebody puts up a sign saying, Saudi Mania. A shit sign. I can't imagine a lot of signs get made in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia because protests are illegal.
Yes.
But it just seemed very kind of staid, very kind of just lame. Just kind of Saudi Mania, right?
It's very, very corporate.
Yeah.
You know, and the commentary, I think it is a corporate product at the moment. And it feels, because they aren't giving people leeway to do what they want. And what you end up, of course, with a corporate product is a bland product. And this tag team turmoil match is an exact example of the way that it has just been. Everyone seems the same and anonymous, you know. You get someone like Otis where you go, that's a little bit that's kind of interesting. You obviously get, you know, Big E in this. Kofi slightly falls into the you know, but who can blame him? Because he's been to the top of the mountain and then you're back there.
He's trying to be expressive. What's
completely
the point?
Awful. You get New Day then versus the B team, who are Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas.
Why do I? Their gimmick is the B. Are they just kind of like, they're the forgotten men?
Yeah.
There's that kind of, right.
Yeah,
okay.
They had a long losing gimmick and then they were sort of like, you know, I think they actually made them the champions just because that was WWE. They will also be ditched in April along with the Revival and Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins. Half this match. This is a nothing match again. You get the New Day then versus the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Revival. Two good teams. Obviously, they're only going to get the 3 to 5 minutes that every single match here has got. What happens here is they mentioned really early on, they say they're going to have a tag team title match tomorrow on SmackDown. And that gives us an indication as to how this match is going to be booked. Why would the New Day get a tag team title match that you want to watch the following night if the Revival just beat them? It's quite obvious they're going to beat the champions in this non-title thing. So immediately watching that, I was like, well, I know the result of this. And lo and behold, of course, New Day get the pin. The Revival then beat up the New Day after the pin. So you know, oh, that's the reason that the New Day will lose the next match.
Yes.
I mean, it really is killing this stone dead. By the time you get to the New Day versus the OC, who are the original club, stroke only club that matters. They wanted to call it Bullet Club.
Yes.
Which was the original faction that the guys had been in under AJ Styles in Japan. New Japan owned the words Bullet Club. So they were the club. the OC,
you know, the gun food, the gun food boys.
Yeah,
what do you put in a gun?
The pistol penguins, because like the club biscuit, the penguin biscuit,
the ammo kablamo boys.
They are. I mean, there's a bit in this where Luke Gallows, he's lumbering down to the ring, and it's only because of his body shape. He's going quite fast. Mm. But he's a big thing.
Yes,
he looks like a Ray Harryhausen skeleton that's running along, but. He's got the sort of warlord's face paint. He's got great big Kevin Nash vinyl flappy trousers. Mm. He is orange and...
He's make a wrestler kind of thing.
Yeah, he looks like he's made out of like sort of like solid corn oil. And they just do their finishing move. You know, there's a couple more moves. They do it again and they get the pin. None of this makes either of the teams look good.
Yeah.
Because they've beaten a group who have just gone through three matches and who have now been beaten up after the bell, and then they've won. So did they really win? Mm. You know, it's all a failure to push people and make them seem important. What happens then as well is because they've won in three moves, we actually get the last match, which is the OC versus the Raw Tag Team Champions, the Viking Raiders. Well, what's happened is we've just watched eight matches. And we've got to the final, and both teams are fresh. So they haven't been through anything.
No.
So there's no stakes. It's just reset continually to the point that you sort of go, what was the fucking point of all that?
Yeah.
Why have we sat through all that? If the New Day had got through to the final and valiantly lost, that is wrestling booking.
Yes.
To just have nine teams and then
have
go,
a final
and teams eight and nine, they
came
go
in the semis
completely fresh, and so they just have a match. It's so fucking stupid. I do like the Viking Raiders. I think they're really good. It's a gimmick I like. It's fully realised. Enhances them. It's a real bonus and a plus to what they do. They are also two big and rough, tough boys, and I am very, very keen on that. And they are Ivar and Eric. Ivar's real name is Todd. Eric's real name is Ray. Both of them are straight edge. So no mead for these Vikings.
What's in that horn? Just water.
It's water.
Just water.
It's, I call it nature's beer.
The New Day put up some vegan pancakes in there.
They've been moved from NXT to the main roster just after WrestleMania 35.
Now, I don't, with NXT, I just sort of go, what? That always seems to be the way you don't really have that many gimmicks.
Yeah.
So, but they've been allowed to be the Viking boys.
Yeah, they had actually been on the independent circuit from as a team since 2014.
Yeah.
And they'd always had this Viking gimmick.
Right.
They'd been in the Indies and Ring of Honor as War Machine, they were known as, and they'd gone to NXT. They had been renamed from War Machine to the War Raiders. Funny they kept the war bit on
it.
It doesn't,
can't copyright that.
Why they weren't like the Viking Raiders? It just seems, you know, War Raiders was weird. When they got onto the main roster, they were renamed the Viking Experience.
See, the Viking Experience sounds too much like Jorvik Viking Centre for me.
I mean, not only does it, Pete, that actually was a big issue.
Oh, really?
So,
have I heard this before and I've just completely forgotten it?
So people hated the renaming. People were like, the Viking Experience. I mean, it's so on the fucking nose.
The Jimi Hendrix Experience.
Yeah, but Experience is also a thing of going, they're a tag team. You know, Experience, just weird. Lots of people were like, this sounds shit. It sounds like an exhibition.
Call it Viking Brutal.
On Tuesday, the Twitter account of the Jorvik Viking Centre in York addressed WWE's recent name change. They said, they did a tweet that said, well, we arrived to a full social media inbox this morning. Seems like there are some mixed opinions out there, but we can promise NXT fans that you will always get an authentic hashtag Viking experience here at Jorvik.
They didn't have the copyright, did they? They didn't have the copyright.
Eric, he replied to the tweet. Right. He said, we will be happy to share the hashtag Viking experience next time we visit Jorvik. We loved our last tour of your incredible museum.
Oh, they've been before!
They've been!
So that is somewhere for the Jorvik Vikings, the Viking Centre to talk to their lawyers about, because they said they visited.
Yeah.
So there is a genuine narrative. They visited and ripped them off.
I do you know what I do love, though? Ivar and Eric, Ray and Todd, they have been doing this now for nearly 10 years, and they are like, apparently there's a Viking museum, and they're like, we are going.
They do York Hall, and they're like, what, there's a Viking in York? What? Wow, cool.
I have actually seen them at York Hall.
Have you? Well, there you go. Well, that's probably where they found out about it.
NXT.
Hey, if you like York Hall, you're going to like York. Why? Well.
They are really... What sort of, like, you lose it slightly when you see a lot of like wrestling, like WWE on TV. when you see the two of them in real life, they are big. They are big in a way that British people are not big. They are made. Honestly.
Mark, I have just had a bit of a idiotic eureka moment. Jorvik is probably like the Viking word for York, isn't it?
That is true.
Probably is, isn't it?
That is true.
I have been to that centre as a child seven times.
Never crossed my mind.
Never crossed my mind.
Wouldn't it be weird if it was like a sort of like Norse slur for like British people? It's like the N-word for British people. Just go, shut it down. They do actually then change the name because it's hated so much. And they become the Viking Raiders.
Right.
A combination, you know, I think Vincent Mann, I was reading, he was originally wanted to call them the Berserkers.
Yes.
But there was a sense that they sort of went, well, that was another guy. He was the Berserker back in 1991, too.
But do they still, can they reuse stuff like that? Or did they steer clear of it?
No, they can. But I think it slightly makes it them seem almost like they are not an original idea, but they are a tag team version of something that was, I'd say successful in the past. Wasn't hugely successful, I must admit. They have this match against the OC, and the OC are terrible. They're just a really boring team. Again, I've talked about this, and it's been nice to see people on Twitter, who've got in contact with the show, just sort of going, I've always felt this. No one ever, mentions it. But they are one of those teams who are seen as being good, and they constantly go about their top guys, and, they are one of the great tag teams and everything. And they have an amazing ability to make any match they're in really, really boring. And even against the Viking Raiders, this is a dull match. There's lots of chin locks and, I don't know whether it's the way they sell or the way they do. I don't know what it is. They are just bland. There's a real sort of, I don't know what they are either. They're just sort of two guys. One of them's got face paint on, the other one hasn't.
Right, yeah.
What are you doing?
And also, like, the OC, it's a TV show about
teenagers. Yeah, it is. It is. And Los I think, Angeles. Obviously, they've thought, well, it's long enough ago.
It's not, though.
It's
everyone remembers it.
It's on fucking Netflix.
California. We're the original club. What?
Weren't you the Bullet Club? Shh. Naughty. Naughty. Anyway, they let the fucking OC win. And, why not let a good guy team win?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, that was good. He sat through all of this to get to the last two people come out and have a match and then the bad guys win. There was a sense here that the OC of Gallows and Anderson had been saying to WWE, we want to leave. Mm. We're not being used properly here. We can go to Japan and we can be huge. And if I was in WWE, I'd be like, keep saying that, don't you? But I think this was a slight thing of the WWE here because they liked the idea of having AJ Styles with the sort of, Bullet Club, and they felt that it was money, even though they couldn't work out really a way to monetize
it.
They basically had sort of given them this accolade of going, you're the best tag team in the world. Mm. And that was an attempt to get them to slightly sort of stop going, well, maybe we'll go to AEW. Now that's the thing.
They could have done BCAD, because Bullet Club AD, sort of like as in like the later version of
that's
BC.
That's good, I like that. That is good. No, that is good. That's great, good. But right. They'd always be like, okay, AD, obviously, Anna Domini, what's the BC? And they'd have to go,
we can't tell you. We can't tell you.
Sorry, if you say that you're trading on Brian, that is still trademark infringement. Oh, no. It stands for Big Club.
Big boy club.
Big boy club. And you can't come in because you're a lawyer, not big boy. oh, God. I mean, what a fucking waste of everyone's time. Also, they then sack him in April as well. They're just like, you're a problem. You can go through that match.
It's so typically Vince, isn't it? It's just so...
It really is. Every other one of those matches they have, like both men are fired within 6 months.
Yeah.
It's just like he
knows what he's doing with like Reigns. And then everything else is just like, what now?
Yeah.
Why are they, what? Just fucking really do, just says right, just fucking do something.
But like, think
do
how many matches like Vince McMahon has watched as well. And he knows when it's good and he knows when it's bad. You must just watch something like that and just go, I'm going to sack everyone in this. Let's start again. I don't need all these men. Apart from anything, this match, if it was like there'd been two less teams,
yeah,
still be long. I could have said to the other guys, can you do double the length?
Yeah.
I could have said to the little Mexican lads, do you know what? Do 15.
Yeah.
That'd be a great start. That'd be exciting. Rather than do four.
Yeah.
And then I can fire, let's see, B team, that's two men.
That's two men, yeah.
And do you know how much it costs me to get the other ones to do twice as long? Nothing. Because they're on contract.
Who have we got up next? Cesaro? Yeah, get rid of him. Never liked him.
Amazing. Look, that was tag team turmoil. best tag team in the world. I mean, it's just if you get a chance to see this match, just get out of your way to avoid it. Just
it
go
adds
for,
nothing
go
to your love of tag
walk.
Teams.
Go for a go walk. For a go walk. For a swim. Try and go to a swimming
go
pool.
Go for a swim.
A swimming pool's open anymore.
Try and go swim. Yeah, my sister went to one, I think, recently, and she left her phone in the locker turned on, which meant that she got several beeps that she was having to go into COVID-related lockdown because she left it in the locker. Obviously, other people had their phones in the locker.
Yeah.
So she hadn't necessarily met those people.
Got yeah.
But her phone was pinging all over
Instead,
the place.
Instead, she was in a giant bath with all of them.
She was, yes.
And you wonder how pandemics take hold. My God.
You'd hope that chlorine would be doing the heavy lifting there, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see more chlorine used in things.
Yes.
One thing I'll say for swimming pools, they smell antiseptic, don't they?
Yeah, Ed was sent over a piece from like this guy who was like a special enzyme guy. I don't know. But he was like, he went and just tested all the waters in every swimming pool in Las Vegas. And he's like, oh my God,
this is...
And I was always scared of swimming pools because like we know someone who got polio from a swimming pool, you know,
right,
we met.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not, it's they're not nice.
No.
Unless you got your own. And even then, I'd never keep on top of it.
No. I remember a friend of mine who had a hot tub. It was early before people had hot tubs.
Yeah.
When he sold his house, it was sold on the condition that he had to remove the hot tub before the man would actually sign the
it's
completion
disgusting.
Thing. But I said, you know, a hot tub's good. And he said, "Look," he said, "if you want to drive to like a long way away, if you want to drive like to other parts of London, looking for a specific brand of chlorine,
chemical,"
he said, "they are fantastic."
You love that little quest. Oh, don't buy a hot tub. This has been WrestleMe.
Yeah, this has been WrestleMe.
Yeah.
We're coming to you live from Hot Tub.
I just put the sound underneath it.
We're sponsored by Hot Tubs and Bird Blood. See you soon.
Hot Tub full of Bird Blood. Yeah.
Wrestle Me is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.